physical hug as we can after the fact. Amen. What a great group. I didn't know who'd expect. But here we are. If you're worried about any kind of an interruption or anything like that, I mean, you never know. But we have word from the Attorney General of Arizona, Art Brnovich. They have ruled it unconstitutional to interfere with anything we do as a church. They left it up to us as the church leaders to practice social distancing. We're doing that in a scriptural fashion, loving one another and being together. Praise the Lord. So, you know, where in the world do I start? I know we have children in here, so we have a limited time. I pray that the videos have been an encouragement to you. They were a struggle for me. And I don't miss them, but I guess we have video going on right now. So I'm going to try to ignore that thing. And keep. I'll tell you what makes all the difference in the world. I believe exactly what Scripture says. Each of us are given gifts. And they're given to us when we're born again, and He comes to live within, and the Spirit dwells within. He gives gifts to us. And there are gifts that each and every one of you may be aware of or may not be aware of, but they're in there. But what draws that gift out of you is when you are worshiping, honoring God, loving people, and you come across, as you're led of the Spirit, you come across somebody that will draw. They'll tap. You may not even be aware of what's going on. They may not even be aware of what's going on. Have you ever been in a situation where out of the blue you get a phone call from somebody who's really in trouble and you open your mouth, you're there, you can't say, hey, I don't know what to say, call Pastor Lee. You open your mouth and you begin to talk, and later on I've heard people relay, I don't know what was coming out of me. It was just like all these verses and all these thoughts, and it was just like, that's what happens when the gift on the inside of you, and they manifest in different ways. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that. To each man, God gives a charis, a gift, a grace, a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, giftings. Every one of you, if you're born again and you know Jesus, quit looking at other people. We're guilty of hero worship. You got one main hero. It's Jesus in you. Would you say Jesus in me? Greater is He that is in me, John said, than he that is in the world. And by the way, as He is, so are we. Let's make it personal. As He is, so am I in this world. Now, we honor those gifts in the body. We honor those gifts and different ones, but I want you to also recognize that God has put stuff in you. And I'll tell you what, sitting and there's a place for it, so I'm not knocking it at all. I'm wrestling with how to continue, because a lot of people that are not able to make it, and now we've opened up the ball. Now there are people saying, hey, are you going to do something next week? We've really enjoyed it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. Because talking to a box does not come natural. So you can pray with me about that. But this right here is such a flow for me, not because I need your accolades or your affirmation, but it's because there is a supernatural something that happens when we come together after the design and fashion of God and His Word as the body of Christ, and we draw on the gifts. And by the way, I'm not the only one. In fact, I'm the least when it comes to the overall scheme of things. How many of you just quit worshiping God for the last 7 weeks since March 15th? Do you realize it's been that long? How many of you that love the Lord have found that that has been richer, better? Some of you chose to have church in your house. Jackie and I weren't quite that spiritual. But how many have missed the assembly? You know, it's for all the right reasons that the Spirit of God spoke to us in Hebrews 13 and told us to not forsake. There's something very special that takes place. You know, I didn't get to see Sally up here. I don't mean to draw you up, but Sally up here on her knees worshiping during the worship. I didn't get to see any of that. That fires me up. I'd like, let's do that the rest of the... worshiping God. Isn't it great to be together? Isn't it great to be together? How beautiful it is to dwell together in harmony, the scripture says. So at any rate, so where in the world do I start? I don't know. I'll just start what I do. I don't know if it's what I do best. It's what I do most often. Just bam. So we'll just start where we start. But this morning, I've got a mix of emotions, a heart and mind that is very, very full. And I can look across this group and know that I am in a safe setting, because the temptation for many is to just ignore this and move on. And it's considered politically incorrect. You know, let's don't talk about the problem. Let's just talk about Jesus. Let's just worship God. I'm up to here with political correctness. It's why we're in the mess that we're in. I'm up to here with people telling me that as a pastor, I can't address politics. If you don't want that, you don't want to be here the next few weeks. I'm going to show you in Scripture where it is our responsibility before God as salt and light in the earth to take a stand. When this deal started back a few weeks ago, none of us knew what was going on. We were being lied to, in my opinion, do with it what you want. We were being lied to across the board. Those that were not lying were simply repeating what they knew. So I repeated what I knew, and we did the most prudent, sensible, wise thing in the event of not knowing exactly what we were dealing with. But as the weeks rolled on, and I began to watch, those who tried to reach out and say, wait a minute, something's wrong. This doesn't line up, and this doesn't line up, and this is not adding up, and this person's behind this, and follow the money. And I watched as I didn't know what to think for a few weeks. But there's several things that we need to remember. Follow the money, number one. Okay? You bet. The love of money is the root of all evil. Follow it. Pray for Doug Ducey, but I'm ticked at him. I found out that this extension, here you go, you ready for politics? This extension has a lot to do with the fact that he's one of five governors that are part of a board that has to do with the development of the vaccine for COVID-19. So anyway. So on and so forth. So when you find that out and you look at what's happening and what's happening in our, it's unbelievable. I never in my lifetime ever dreamed that I would see not just our nation, that's shocking, but the whole world shut down. Okay? So as time went on, and I'm watching as, and this is something that you need to pay attention to, whoever they are, there is an unseen, largely silent. Now, I'm talking about the media, and I'm going to call them the left wing, radically left, fake news. Okay? They are exactly that. If that's all you're hearing, if that's all you know, you're not getting the truth. Okay? So the thing is, everybody who rises, every voice that rises to say, wait a minute. When I get suspicious is when I see them arbitrarily demonetized, pulled from YouTube, their web pages being shut down, interfering with servers. You can't get to certain search engines that are more free and open, server busy, all kinds of craziness. Somebody really, really wants this thing to move forward in spite of fact, in spite of truth. When I see that kind of thing, what I suspicioned in my heart of hearts, deep down on the inside, in the beginning, now I'm beginning to say, I more than smell a rat, there is a rat. Huh? Many, you got it. But you know what I'm saying. So as we move forward in this deal, my plea to you, to all of us who are part of this body, is that you would recognize these things. If ever there was a time when we needed to be listening to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside, If ever there was a time when we needed to be walking by the Spirit and not after the flesh, it is now. And we need to be aware of what is taking place. Now listen, I'm not going to use this bully pulpit, this as a bully pulpit to, name names and candidates and become a politician. Absolutely not. I despise that. But by the same token, I have a responsibility to preach truth. And right now, truth and untruth are being clearly defined, clearly polarized. We see more division now than we've ever seen before. And it's time for the body of Christ to begin to wake up. You hear this term often, ignorance is bliss. Right now, they're doing everything they can to keep us unaware of what is really going on, to keep us unaware of the truth. And if you're unaware, if you're ignorant, I watched it in Central America. They have a little system down there that goes like this. The government pays. They've had the ability over and over and over and over again to change this. I graduated from high school in Guatemala. The schools down there, Honduras, right on through. The government provides a public school system through sixth grade. After that, you are on your own. And I've heard them comment on it. You teach them just enough to be able to read, but not enough to really know what's going on. Keep them ignorant, and you can use the tools of fear, of repression. You can control people who are not aware. But when you become aware, you then become a threat to those who seek to control your every move. I resist. Now, I'm not going to be a jerk in Walgreens when it says stand here. Because out of respect for those around me, well, I'm not a jerk, but I kind of ignore it on purpose a little bit. But when we're being handed down from not even a government entity, don't be deceived. This is a private entity that now has the power of the presidency to dictate us, our every move. Shut our churches down. Now, thank God they didn't single us out yet. They are in other places. Here's my concern. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know is dangerous to you if you're not aware of it. Be sober and vigilant, Peter says. For your enemy, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And how does he do that? He does that through a legal system. He actually takes God's law, misconstrues it, accuses, that's what Satan means, the accuser of the brethren, accuses the brethren on a legal basis. That's why what God did through Jesus is so, I was going to say unbelievably, but it all is based on belief. That's why what he did is so wondrous. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And listen, people, that's not just some pie-in-the-sky spiritual thing. In all of history, where the gospel has gone forward, where the truth has been preached, it has an impact in that society eventually. And this is not the time to be in fear or to run scared or to cower. It's not time to be a jerk either. We're to speak the truth in love, but not back off of the truth. Now, I've dug a hole right now already, so we'll just keep on going, all right? So here's the thing. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is dangerous. What you don't know empowers others to run your life. And if you're only hearing from just a few sources, I find it very interesting that Dr. Batar, if you've never heard of him, write that name down. I don't believe he's a believer. What I do know is he's a man of integrity with a list of credentials 8 miles long, former military, very pro-American, an amazing guy. They are shutting him down left and right as he's screaming, "This is not a real pandemic at all. There is no power to this thing at all. It is a lie from its inception." And he connects the dots with who's behind it, where the money is coming from, how it is all tied in. And everybody that I talk to, you can see what I call alligator eyelids. Their eyes are open. Have you ever seen a gator? I worked for years, cowboy in Florida, pastoring there as well. And I've killed a few gators. I've rolled it in flour and thrown it in a frying pan, and it's delicious. Okay? But gators have an outside eye lid, and then they have an inner eyelid, if you would. And when they go underwater, that thing comes down over. It's a shield. Their eyes still open, but there's a filter there. And the minute that you start talking about these things, you can see good believers. And the reason they do that is they retreat in fear. Now, I understand the fear. I get it. In the beginning, I wasn't afraid. I know that God will take care of us. I've seen what God does. But I watch, how do I weigh all of this with watching people just literally being terrified? And that's the idea, that's the design. Yeah. Proverbs 28:1 says this, "The righteous flee when no man pursues." David the psalmist knew this well. The wicked flee, forgive me. Thank you so much. I've done that before with that verse. Let me repeat that properly. The wicked flee. Thank you. Keep me right. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. David knew this by experience. Does anyone remember in your reading of the Old Testament the story of Mephibosheth? Yeah. Mephibosheth was crippled when a servant girl who was carrying him, they were running in terror from Saul's palace. They were running in terror because Saul was dead, Jonathan was dead, everything was changing, and the word had gone out that David was coming to take over the kingdom. The thing is, David had a different kind of heart. And in their running in terror, this servant girl trips and falls with this baby in her arms, Mephibosheth, and he's crippled. Well, if you know the end of the story, and I know this isn't my message, but it's beautiful. Because David seeks out these who are part of his family, who had been afraid of him, who'd heard stories. He'd been maligned. He'd been, all kinds of fear had perpetrated rumors and had perpetrated all kinds of false scenarios that caused in their mind to believe that David was angry and mad and vengeful and spiteful and coming to get him. That's a lot of what religion does today with our Father. I got good news for you. He never was that way. He's still not that way. John 14:9, Jesus says, "I don't care what it looks like. I'm here to tell you that he was only partially revealed. But now I'm telling you that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Look at me," Hebrews 1. "I am the express image," the icon, it says in the Greek, "of what he looks like and what his heart is." Now, I know that calls into question a lot of things that we see and have heard. But you stick with Jesus. You stick with the new covenant. You stick with truth revealed. It doesn't call into question. It clears up a partial truth. As I said in one of my videos, the law, and I said it wrong, and I want to correct that if you watch those videos. I said that the law was a partial truth. That's not a proper way to say it. What I meant was this. It's an incomplete truth. That's why Jesus had to complete it, to fulfill it, for we never could have. He fulfilled it for us. That's why now faith in His work now makes us righteous. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, write it down. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So that this was an arbitrary exchange. His righteousness for my sin, and He took my sin, gave me His righteousness, took my sin upon Himself. Isn't that amazing? The story of Mephibosheth is a beautiful story because the one who had been hurt as a result of fleeing, David calls him in to his palace as family, embraces him as family, sits him at a table of bounty, and they're sitting with the king, being embraced, family, sitting at a table of bounty. His brokenness could not be seen beneath the table. What we see is the bountiful provision of the king given. Now, the rest of that equation, look at Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 12. I'm going to read a scripture here in just a few moments, but Proverbs tells us also that the fear of man is a snare. But those who try, it's a snare. In other words, when you are fearful, when you run, when you don't really understand what you're running from, and I want you to think about what's happening right now. Fear is being pressed, pushed, perpetrated on every front right now. They want you to be irrationally afraid. If they can do and keep things changing, there's going to be 2.5 million. Oh, I'm sorry. What was it? 200 million. 200 million or 2.5. 200, whatever. There's going to be 2 million. Then there's going to be, 200,000. What was it originally? It's they've changed it so many stinking times. It's hard to keep. I think in the United States it was 200,000. That was going to be 100,000. And then they reduced it to 60. And then they reduced it to less until they were able to mess with the numbers. And if you could get to the truth, they keep erasing these videos faster than they can be put up, where guys are showing how they are doing the diagnostics, how they are testing. It's based on symptoms alone. The one test that they have does not test for COVID at all. It tests for genetic material, inflammation, so they're able to adjust and inflate. That's why they have a plan for this to have a resurgence. And we're going to have to make some decisions as a people and a church about what we're going to do, because you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, but we can't sit on our hands. At some point, let the inner man rise up and at least begin to speak. But if nobody tells you, and if they're doing everything they can right now, it's very similar to a totalitarian state right now. It's shocking. Now, the salt and light is still here. I said the salt and light is still here. This is not the time to call it an end. It's not the time to lay down and give in. I'll get to those points here in just a minute. I want to finish my thought. Hebrews 12. If I can find the verse. It's a quote out of the Old Testament. Hebrews 12, I'm sorry. Verse 12, quoting from the Old Testament, verse 12 of chapter 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Don't let the verse before it trouble you if you're reading on your own. I think very soon I'm going to try to move through, finish where I'd left off. I don't want to just leave Ephesians hanging. I want to finish that up. But I'm thinking about circling back and talking about Hebrews, because if you're messed up in Hebrews, you're messed up everywhere. Okay? The verse before this is, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. He is speaking to the Jews, Israel. The reference in chapter 3, holy brethren, is not speaking to Christians, but he's speaking to a nation of people who are the chosen people of God, and yet they are in a very dangerous place. They are ignorant of the truth. Paul speaks of this, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And that ignorance is getting ready to cost them a lot as a nation, their government, their people, everything, because they don't know some things. And the writer of Hebrews is just about screaming, guys, that system and that government and that form doesn't work anymore. All of that pointed to the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus. These things were wonderful, but these only serve to point to Him. Please see. That's what Hebrews is all about. And if you don't get that, there's a lot of scary verses that we will debunk in light of you, a believer in the new covenant, and how Hebrews, and you'll see what Hebrews was supposed to be. You'll see it shine again. It is a revelation of our Jesus. Even for us, the Gentile, He is our Messiah. He is our Emmanuel. He is now God with us, the Savior of the world. The writer of Hebrews is pleading with him. So in the verse part, it says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. These are speaking in the context to a nation, to a group of people. But listen to what he says. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now he begins to quote out of the Old Testament. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. All of these scriptures says, I want to tell you something. You may have been crippled because of fleeing in fear. And there may be those we won't even see back here again. But don't you give up the fight. Know that the God who is always, our God who is always faithful, even for those who are struggling and afraid, don't be critical of them. Begin to speak the healing power of God, that their paths will be made straight, that their brokenness will be healed, that their struggle will be seen. Are you with me? So this isn't a gloating thing, but I can't stand up here and ignore all this and just start talking about the love of God and just go right on in Ephesians like nothing happened. I see that happening. I'm like, man, it is where else but the church house is truth to be spoken? And it used to be that guys like me were called into the Senate, they were called into Congress, called into the White House, and allowed to preach at the inception of this nation. Not just once or twice, all the time. Those men looked to their Almighty God for His hand in all that they were doing. Sown among them, because it's men, were those who always were ungodly and sought other ways. But because it was a nation that turned loose the true idea of freedom, freedom was allowed to bring what freedom does when it's based on true freedom, the truth of God. So why then do we hold back? If you're not saying, listen, I mentioned a minute ago, and I want to make sure you don't miss that. This Dr. Batar, he'll put up a video and it's shot down within 12 hours. Sometimes it doesn't make 2 hours anymore. Why? Judy Mikovits, a lady who was a part of the original development of all of these vaccines, knows exactly where they came from. SARS and all the different SARS, which is basically what COVID is, comes from the study of fecal matter from animals and trying to jump the track to humans. This stuff is illegal. It was called illegal. It was illegal. You can check this stuff out for yourself. If you can find it, don't look for it on Google. Because the FBI is involved there. What Trump references as a deep state. The FBI is involved in YouTube. The FBI is involved in Facebook. These are the dirty secrets lurking behind the shroud of freedom of expression. You right now, there is no freedom of expression. Thank God there are other mediums that are rising up. And we need to support them, but we got a serious problem. When you got private entities that have amassed that kind of power and now dictate what kind of information they're going to allow to be funneled. Listen, Ephesians 5 says something very important. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You got to be awake. You got to be looking. The answer is not to stick your head in the sand and hope for the best. We have this kind of freedom because there were men who tasted true freedom because of the preaching of the gospel and said, I see a day when all men will be free, truly free. God's definition of free. And they were willing to pay the price of blood and estrangement. Excuse me? Yes. They were willing to stand and fight. And we've become so used to this, the greatest nation ever in the history of the world, that we take for granted. At some point, we as believers, we've got to, in every little way that you can, whether it's letters, emails, phone calls. I sent off a fiery letter to Doug Ducey twice. I was angry. One of the lines was, I thought I voted for a conservative Arizonan with Arizona Steel. Arizona people are, I wished I was a native. The true Arizonan has grit, sand. This country grew up fighting. I thought that's what I was voting for. I said, but I've been sadly disappointed. Do what you can. Speak out. It amazes me how many Christians are afraid to speak out. We have been so dumbed down by political correctness. We're afraid. We're afraid. Listen, the whole idea of conspiracies, do you know that that was something that was invented? The term and the use was invented by the CIA to intimidate people from lifting up the covers and looking at what was really going on. There have always been evil men who have sought to control the masses. And I want to encourage you, if you don't even know what to do with everything I'm saying right now, don't just sit idly by and say, well, it'll all work out. Nothing that we have ever accomplished for freedom's sake happened because we sat on our hands hoping it would all work out. At some point, we have to find our voice. We have to find our steel. We have to be willing, if they shut us down here, it doesn't mean they shut us down. What you said earlier is so true. We are the church. This is not a church. It's an expensive building. We are the church. My name is Lee. Right? Somebody asked me, where do you go to church? You heard that in the first video? Where do you go to church? That's like saying, where do you go to Lee? What do you mean? I am Lee. Wherever I go, there Lee is. That's the church. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus today, the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism into the body, things that, listen, so I want to challenge you today. You hear me quote scriptures all the time along these lines, but if ever we needed to hear it, it is right now. Can I ask you to do something? I'm going to say it in a very vernacularly vulgar way. Trust your gut. If you know and live for and have Jesus living on the inside of you and you smell a rat, trust it. Quit being intimidated. No matter who I talk to. Have you heard? Oh yeah, we don't. I had somebody I love very much. We don't watch those videos. We're tired of videos. This couldn't all be a lie. They're watching the mainstream media. This couldn't all be a lie. I mean, how's that possible? What are you doing? What's happening to you? That's a believer. And you know they're alive unto God. You know deep down in. But if you've lived passively long enough, Israel went through it again. Listen, read the Old Testament. Israel went through it again and again and again and again. The blessing of God caused them to rise and be strong. Then they sat on their laurels. The blessing flowed in. And then they let their enemies overtake them when they were soft. Are you soft today, or are you willing to hear what I'm saying? Quit you like men, is what Paul told Timothy, told the people, the people he was writing to. Quit you like men. He told Timothy, stand. There's the one I was looking for. He told him, stand firm, stand strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for Jesus today. All right? So we need to realize. Now where was I going to go? Whew. Huh? John, that's where I was going to go. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now, I mentioned this in one of the videos, and I was trying to... Man, it's good to be with you guys and have this going on. I love Chad's ministry. How many enjoyed his teaching? And the fact that Jesus says, look, you're getting ready to go into a tough time, but I want to remind you guys, I've overcome the world. So you can be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And he begins to share with them. You keep reading those beautiful words from 14, 15, and 16. Look at verse 15. You might have mentioned this. I don't remember. Where he says in verse 16. Chapter 16. He says... Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me that I go away. And there's a beautiful unseen truth there that misses so many. Jesus knew, you see this so active in the life of Peter, who I love Peter. I don't know about you, but I see me and Peter, and it gives me hope. About it. I've been called a knucklehead a few times, and rightfully so. And maybe you have too, because you're chuckling. So aren't you glad for Peter? It gives us hope, Ken. All right. So, but you see it active in the life of Peter, where they saw him. I mean, think of John 14, the scripture that I referenced a little while ago. They were leaning on his physicality, the physical Savior. Their hope was at that time that he was going to rise up with a sword and smash the Roman Empire and be their physical, on earth, triumphant, right wrongs, vengeance on full display, smash every foe. And Jesus comes along and says, nope, that's not how it's going to start. There's a greater work in the Spirit that has to be done. So in John 14, they're saying, just show us. Look, Jesus, just show us the Father. They haven't made the connection yet. Just show us the Father. And in what to me is obvious agitation, maybe I shouldn't ascribe that to Jesus. I think I can. I've seen him agitated more than once in Scripture. Obvious to me, agitation, he says, how long do I got to be around you guys? I've been saying it over and over again. I've been demonstrating it. Why can't you see that I and my Father are one, and if you've seen me, you have seen the Father? But they were leaning on his physical person. And Jesus makes an astounding statement. He says, it is necessary, it is good for you. Expedient would be more properly, loosely translated, paraphrase, a la L.S., Lee Shaw. It's better for you. I came here for a time. I'm getting ready to fulfill my purpose. Think of that. Boom, 3.5 years. He says, but it is much better for you. It's expedient. You look it up yourself. It's better for you that I leave now. Because there is a way that will empower you to do what you've seen in me on earth as a people and as a body. It's necessary, better for you that I go. And when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And look at what he says. Look at in verse, once again, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Don't leave. No, hold on. I've been talking to you. I'm not leaving, but this is. He says, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can't come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then he explains what he meant. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So he reminds them of their righteousness. He lovingly shows the world their sin. Say, where do you get that from? You don't read your Bible? Your Bible says God, the Father, so loved the world. It was his plan. Because of love, he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. So this, how you've heard it preached, he's coming to convict, to reprove. That's not his posture at all. He hates evil. But he loves people. He even loves, we're told, are we greater than God? We are told by Jesus to love our enemies. Up until now in the law, you've heard this. But I tell you, I'm changing everything. Love your enemies and pray for them. Ouch. I'm saying ouch. Because I want to do something else over the last 7 weeks. Many times. Ask my wife. Burst of anger to repentance, to burst of anger to repentance. Oh, don't look at me like that. Ugh. Verse 13, love it. Howbeit when he, look at what the Holy Spirit is referred to as, the Spirit of Truth. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to. Are you listening? The radio station of heaven is pumping out the signal, but are you tuned in? I wish I could hear from God. But everybody else always hears from God. Well, why don't you take a little time and tune in? Listen. Trust. You say, how do I do that? Listen, we don't know mentally, intellectually, everything all at once. God help us if we did. Mentally, intellectually, I'm glad that God doesn't let us know everything. But there is a knowing from the Holy Ghost on the inside that if we're paying attention, if we're tuned in, how do you do that? Through the reading of His Word, through worship, through the fellowship of the brethren. But ultimately, listen, ultimately, if you've been truly born again, we in the faith camp have been on the verge of subtle error, and that everything that comes from God and everything that happens for our blessing comes pure and only by a change of thinking. Careful. Be very careful. Joyce Myers has it right. She calls it the battlefield of the mind. But if we think that exchanging bad thoughts for new thoughts that are good, or untrue thoughts for new ways of thinking, is this mechanical exchange. I see people who I believe with all my heart in confessing the word. But your much confessing doesn't produce anything if there isn't a heart belief, and that speaking the word of God is you aligning yourself and reminding yourself, like David of old in Psalms 103, he stood, I can see him, maybe he wasn't, but I can just see him standing and singing at the top of his lungs, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his whole, reminding himself of the goodness of God. He prophetically was reaching way past his time, for he spoke of all sin being forgiven, all disease being healed, the blessing and favor of God flowing in a person's life, the strength of God in the old. I mean, these are the things that he speaks of. How many can quote it? I'm not going to take time to quote it. I can. Psalms 103. Read it. Powerful. He's reminding, he is rehearsing, meditating on the goodness of God. I don't know where I was going with that. I guess I'll go back to this. Spirit of truth, you remember? Am I overloading you? Do I need to stop and pick up next week? Okay, let me finish a few thoughts and then we'll pick up next week. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. This isn't the time to lay down. I want to address a couple things and then I want to try to sew this up. You doing okay? Is it hot? You're not getting sleepy? Honey, should I take a few more minutes or not? Okay. She's a good monitor. Okay. So, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is coming, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, for he shall show you things to come. How many believe? Now turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. You hear me quote these a lot? And, The subtle, what I was getting back to is David, that there is a subtle, we're on the verge of a very subtle form of error when we think it's just the exchange of thoughts. We got to realize that when you were born again, it happened in spite of you. It blows my mind what Ephesians 2 says, while we were yet dead in sins, he quickened us, made us alive, and caused us to be seated. I still can't get my mind around what that means. Someday we'll know. But all it took was just a flicker. The gospel brings hope, and hope gives way to faith. And before you even knew what you were doing, how many can remember when you were born again? Heart belief caused an inner transformation. It didn't mean that all your problems were over or that you wouldn't make big messes because you didn't know some things. But in your heart of hearts, many of you, for the first days, weeks, maybe months, nobody had to come to you and tell you to not be hateful. For the first time in your life, you brought a hammer down on your thumb. And instead of curse words, you felt yourself, no, or when you did let loose, it wasn't like before. There was a knowing, oh, that isn't condemnation. That's the precious Holy Spirit who is bound to us. We're sealed by him until the day of redemption. He will never leave us, Hebrews 13:5, nor forsake us, 6. Are you? But he's faithfully there to lead us into truth, to show us the paths of righteousness and of peace. That's beautiful. Aren't you glad to be set free from bondage and religion. You know, we look at what's going on with all this misinformation. Man, we've had misinformation in the church for years. It kept us in fear, kept us from enjoying. Most of us were never, until over the last few years, never totally secure in our salvation. Always fearful that something could take it away. Our whole life was all about self-examination. I'm so glad that I found out the truth. Self-examination causes me to tumble back into the repeated processes of sin, but beholding Him who is the author and the finisher of my faith causes me to rise above. It's a process, and during the process, His grace abounds even more where sin does. Aren't you glad for that? Three of you are glad for that. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Okay, so anyway, so it's not just the exchange of thoughts. The Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of truth. Would you take your hand and lay it over your chest and recognize right now the Spirit of truth? Say it out loud. The Spirit of truth dwells in me. Ask yourself a question. Am I listening? If you're not, don't be condemned. Just start listening. Pay attention, but not blind. Start watching. Look, I find it interesting. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Let me just quote the whole thing. It's easier for me. It speaks of how blessed a man is who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know it well. Stands away sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, because his delight, his passion, his childlike wow of the law, the Torah, the instruction towards Messiah, now fulfilled in the new covenant. How's that for amplified Bible? Okay? He'll meditate in him. Let me back up. If we meditate in that law day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. We'll bring forth fruit in season. Our leaf will not wither, and whatever you put your hand to will prosper. That doesn't work like this. Well, we're going to just trust God. Everything happens for a reason. Just stay in peace. I don't know. I don't really care. God's in control. That's what I'm hearing everywhere right now. God's in control. If our founding fathers of this nation would have had that kind of a stinking, lousy, passive attitude, we wouldn't even be able to do what we're doing right now. That's crazy. He conquered the devil, then gave us power until he returns in a world that still has a little g, God of this world, Prince of the powers of the air. His power has been broken through the name. And if you'll dare to use the name, there's power in the name. I love a verse of scripture. Absolutely. Philippians 2 tells us clearly that he was given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth and under the earth. David Ingalls wrote a song about the name of Jesus is higher than them all. He has a phrase in there. Heaven stands at attention. Maybe it's a different song. I might have two songs, same subject, confused there. But the phrase that I'm thinking of is, heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. Aren't you glad we have power through the name of Jesus? So I want to get to some meat of this. We can come back. Now I'm getting off into preaching the goodness of God, and there's some things that I just want to remind us of. 1 John, let's go there real quick. 1 John chapter 2. You know these verses. I hope you know them by heart. I've quoted them enough. I pray that you know where we're going right now without me saying where I'm going. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction. That is an anointing. One more time, put your hand over your chest. I want you to say it out loud. I've got an unction. You say, what is an unction? Does that hurt? No, what that means, that's King James. You got an anointing. Oh, we love to talk about the anointing on somebody else, but I'm to whom I? I'm just nothing. I'm just, stop that. Quit it. Don't speak evil of yourself. I'm preaching to me right now. Leaford, you idiot, what are you thinking? And then I can hear myself preaching, don't do that. Yes, I really do that. I'm sorry. I'm growing with you. Okay, we'll move on. That's not funny to you as it is to me. So 1 John verse 20. You have an anointing from. Put your hand over your chest. You have an unction. I have an anointing. What does that mean? That means that the very presence of God by the Holy Spirit is in you. That spirit of truth. Is in there. And read it yourself. You know all things. Obviously, he's not talking about math or science or real estate or cows or whatever, gardening. There's a knowing about what counts going on inside of you all the time. How many have had a situation where you're going down the road and without even realizing what you were doing, you said out loud to yourself, or maybe you said it so loud in your mind, you heard yourself say in your mind, I'm going this way instead of that way. And you find out later, a devastating wreck, timing, the whole deal. He's alive on the inside of you. It's more than intuition. It's information from heaven because he loves you and he lives on the inside of you. He is the spirit of truth. I encourage you, trust that. Verse 27, he repeats it again. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. It's dwelling alive in there. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and there it is again, and is truth. I find it interesting that the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 17 says that Moses gave an incomplete or a partial, but grace and truth came, was revealed in Jesus Christ. That's fascinating. That offends the religious, but it's there. Penned by the apostle of love. I love it. But the anointing which you received him, which you have received him, abides in you, and you have no need that any man teach you, but it's the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Okay, a couple of thoughts real quick. I'm not going to be able to get to these all today, but just a couple of things. A couple of responses, and I'm not going to go into detail. I may just pick up on this next week. We're about out of time, but some of the responses that I've seen in the church really, really bother me, and I've kind of hit them, and I want to help you to kind of lift you today and maybe encourage you. Listen, don't be intimidated by people while you believe a bunch of conspiracy theories. No, say I'm about listening to the Holy Spirit and getting every bit of information that I can, because there's a misinformation campaign, the weaponizing of so-called journalism to destroy a continuation of a president, regardless of what you think about him. He has, for no advantage of his own at all, he's lost much, is standing firm in defense of our Christian values on every front. And I'm tired of feeling like I've got to be careful about who I offend. Be offended. If you don't like it, leave. But we're going to serve God and we're going to state the truth. We can't go that way anymore. That's not mean. That's truth. The day my little Amber was running, I doubt she remembers that she's a little thing, and you've heard me tell this story. The day she's heading out across our yard in Florida after a beautiful ball that I'd brought home for her. The ball was irrelevant. Daddy had done it. She loved her daddy. We thought we were through having kids. We had Rebecca and Amber. Amber was my little Amber LaBamber. We nicknamed her Happy. She's running after that thing that represented my love for her, an expression, a gift. And as she's running for that ball, I can hear what she can't. A car, very unusual at that time, mostly dirt road, more of a rural type area. And I can hear a truck, I mean just hammering. And it's not normal. And she's running after that ball as it goes down in a ditch and back up the other side. And I scream at her, Amber, stop! There was no time to reach her. I shouted with all the force that I had, with everything in me, the heart of a father of love who wanted to see his baby girl live. But it didn't sound like love. For a minute, it about destroyed her. She stopped, turned. I've never heard you like that. Why? She didn't understand. It took her growing and maturing to understand that the voice of love and passion was crying, saying, stop. Because we had raised her from the time she was little. We weren't politically correct parents. We're not moving the knickknacks for you. You're going to move away. Period. Because someday we're not going to be there to tell you. And she stopped. And it saved her life. At what point do we keep trying to be soft and careful in the name of not wanting to, people we've got to, I'm not, listen, you think I'm talking to you about me. I'm talking about you. With a smile, with all the love you can muster, with gentleness, but speak the truth in love. Stop being intimidated. It's got to start somewhere. Find out the truth. We'll help you. We'll get some of this stuff. If we can get to it and download it before it gets shot down. But there are those who seek to change the whole global system. And we, America, are in their way. Our nationalistic spirit, this experiment of freedom like no other before us, has really messed up their plan. 8 years of Obama, they thought they had us. Couldn't believe it when it didn't work. You saw the devastation when Hillary was not reelected. By the way, I've been wanting to say this, and I'm free to say it, like it or not. If you haven't seen Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza, who is a godly man and a Christian who loves this nation and loves the Lord, was imprisoned by a setup. If you haven't seen Hillary's America, I'm asking you as your pastor, go get the video and get educated about our roots. I saw him talking about that at Liberty University, where my boy Luke and his wife are at. What a tremendous man. And he's not even from here. He moved here from India. He saw that no place, like any place in the world, he was free to pursue life, prosperity, happiness, worship of choice. And he's watching as it is being eroded through a very crafty, well-laid plan. All this nonsense about a curve was designed by Bill Gates, who believes that the world population needs to be reined in, checked by any means necessary, for he is God. And others like him see a future. You think all this nonsense about essential business is just essential business? people, it speaks from the father of lies, a lie that speaks of whether you are essential or not. When will it move from our business and the church to you? You don't like Trump? I don't care if you like Trump or not. There's a lot about him I don't like. But let me tell you something. If you can't do anything else, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says you need to make prayers and intercessions. You need to repent for your evil speaking, and you need to make prayers and intercession so that you may pray for kings and those in authority so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Blinders are over the eyes of people who hate him. They don't hate him. There's something else working. I don't necessarily like him either. I know a lot about his background. But I also know that the kings of old, King Cyrus, God doesn't do things the way that we think he should do them all the time. And Israel cried out for freedom, and God took a heathen king. So if he's nothing more or less than a heathen king, he's taking and standing for things in the right direction. And we need to quit apologizing for that and tiptoeing through the tulips with Tiny Tim and start being bold again and speak up. Say something. Quit running in fear. The wicked flee. You don't even know what you're running from. Most of us in here have no clue. Dr. Dan Erickson, I've mentioned him in the videos. He can't get his videos up fast enough before they remove them. He's a man who owns multiple clinics in Southern California. He says, this is ridiculous. This is not the way to deal with this. He gets shut down faster than he can put them up. And he doesn't even have the whole truth. He's not a Christian. He might be. He doesn't put that out there. He's just simply saying, here's the facts, boots on the ground. This is what's taking place. And somebody does not want that getting out. And that right there ought to be enough to cause you to at least be suspicious and start closing your ears that everything that's being poured down the garbage spout and begin to look for real answers. And I'm asking you, trust the Spirit of truth. Come on, people, are you here this morning? Trust the Spirit of truth that's on the inside of you. Can you give me a couple more minutes? It's all family anyway. I got you woke back up. Here's a couple of responses that drive me nuts. And this is the church. Retreat to our scripture-based slogans like, God is in control. And all things work together for good. That's missed context and a misquote, by the way. Putting our heads in the sand like an ostrich and hoping everything will be better. Verse 14 of Ephesians 5 says, awake thou that sleepest. He's speaking to New Covenant believers. You're asleep. Some things are happening. And you're wanting to fight after the flesh. You're wanting to go down. You're believing stuff that isn't true. I'm telling you, wake up. He says in Ephesians 4, we'll look at it in just a minute if I have time. He says, reprove works of darkness. What? He says, speak the truth in love. He doesn't say, stay silent and pray and hope for the best. He says, stand with love and with gentleness, but with authority and strength. Open your mouth and say something. Amen, Pastor Lee, you're doing a good job. You just keep it up. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us. What good does it do for me to preach it? Most of you in here wouldn't even be here if you didn't agree. You wouldn't even be here. You know how many people I call, aren't you concerned about the police? Aren't you concerned about? I said, no, I'm not. And by the way, I prayed about it, talked to my wife about it, bounced it off people that help us lead, and I said, I don't care what they do. Right now I can see this clear, and it's reaching to a point of principle. I'm having church this Sunday. I probably should have had it last Sunday. While I was finishing the video, Jackie comes running in and she shows me the post on Kel Palguda, Prescott Valley. I'm so impressed with that dude. He respectfully, straight up said to Doug Ducey, "We're not doing this." And then he posted on his Prescott Valley mayor Facebook, "By the way," I'm paraphrasing, this is what he was saying, "By the way, churches, have church, for Art Brnovich has ruled unconstitutional the restriction of our right to assemble and the free expression of our religion." I love it. And I was relieved, because I don't want to be fined or jailed or plastered all over the news any more than you do. But it reaches a point where, okay, now enough of the truth is coming through for me to continue this. Why? My great-great-granddad did not die in a prison in the South fighting slavery and other things for nothing. My grandpa and my great uncle didn't fight in World War II defending our freedoms for nothing. How long do we just coast and enjoy? At what point? So these are bad responses. Paul is reacting in this scripture to the world system. Here's another one that I don't like, and I'm going to touch on some things that I'm going to have to clean up later, but oh well. Here's the one that drives me nuts. I hate it almost as much as the liberal media. And that is all these end-time prophecy gurus that go down the same track every time we have something like this happen. Selling their books, selling their videos, selling their face, rendering the people of God passive, inciting the thought, doom and gloom, it's all coming to an end. Jesus is coming back. Listen, I got news for you people. Jesus doesn't have to return anytime based on scripture, except when he's ready. And that could be 50 years, 100 years, 500 years. But all these, I'm sorry, goofballs that are standing up there once again. I mean, how many times do we have to hear about some stupid ancient calendar? How many times do we have to hear them readjusting things? Blood moon, shame on you guys. What is the matter with you? I love you. We pray for you. We appreciate your ministry. But where is your head? We're told that we are to be salt and light until he comes. Quit selling your wares and tell the good news. Stand up. The same guys, always trying, doom and gloom. And here's the truth of the matter. Here's another name you might want to write down. Gary DeMar. The name of his ministry is American Vision. He deals a lot with the insidiousness of socialism and how they've tried to weave it into our system. He has a vision for America, for the people of God, for the church. And the reason he has that vision is he believes that most of what these prophecy gurus put forward has already passed, with the exception of the return of Jesus. There's a book that you need to read called Victorious Eschatology. Whether you agree with it or not, I will tell you this. What you believe about the future dictates how you will live your life out today. It has everything to do with your vision and your plan for the future. And that kind of nonsense renders the people of God passive as they sit on their hands praying, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Another one taken out of context. There is no 7-year tribulation. The only thing that can be backed up in Scripture is a 3.5-year period in reference to the Jewish nation. It's nonsense. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that they would see his return. I can show you other scriptures. John 21, where he says, some of you here will not see death until you see the Son of Man coming in all his glory. And all these are references and phraseology that Jewish people understood, types of speech which speak of an Israel that now is defiant in their rejection of Messiah and the new covenant. And God is saying, I'm going to have to deal with you. This must end so the new can begin. So end time thinking taking clear out of the whole, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the vaccine has a chip in it. Listen, all that may be very true. There may be an Antichrist who would rise to power. That has nothing to do with all this stuff they're selling on TV. It's nonsense. Here's what happens when man seeks to be God. He seeks to be God, and through keeping the masses ignorant and controlling them, whatever he can do, he is going to build always a Tower of Babel. Whether it's digital, whether it's whatever, he's going to always do that. It will repeat again and again. America is not secure. Listen, you hear all this crying out right now. Oh, this has got to be the end. This is Americans because America is being threatened. What about all of the 1040 window? What about India? What about Iran? What about the people being beheaded for the last 20 years and nobody cares? Imprisoned, killed, my friends in Cuba. What about them? Oh, but now that it's touched America, we got to change our end time thing. Listen, people, we could be here for a long time to come. What you believe about tomorrow and the future dictates the way you live today. I believe it was Martin Luther who said, if I knew for sure Jesus was coming back tomorrow, I'd still plant an apple tree today. We're told to occupy until he comes. We're told to be salt and light. We're told to make a difference. We're told to get involved. And listen, scripture is replete. I don't have time now because I'm out of time. But I want to read to you. Maybe we'll do it next week if anybody comes back. You might want to look this one up for yourself. This is put out by the Family Research Council. I'm not going to read it now. I don't want to abuse the time. Family Research Council, the author. You might want to write this down because you can Google it and go right to the page. It's a free pamphlet. You can download the PDF. It is absolutely powerful and timely. His name is Wayne Grudem, G-R-U-D-E-M. The name of this pamphlet is Why Christians Should Seek to Influence Government for Good. I'm going to reference this next week. So if you're worried about COVID or what I'm going to say, you're duly warned. Okay? So you can go on and Google it that way. The website is frc.org. Speaks of the First Amendment, speaks of the history of our nation, speaks of the need for Christians scripturally to get involved, cites examples of how they did, contrary to popular thought. There is a limit to submitting to authority when it flies in the face of God-given freedoms. There is a time to peacefully stand and resist. It starts in the Spirit always first. But what we believe to be truth and what we see and testify together before God and examine in Scripture, if we really believe something, James says, if your faith is legitimate, it will have works. Not works unto faith, but works produced from faith. Paul in Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for it is a gift of God. And then he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What you believe should affect your feet and your voice. Say, Pastor Lee, you're preaching to 40, 50 people here this morning. We all, you know what? How many in here this morning are being encouraged to rise up with what you've been feeling in your gut already? But you got to start somewhere. I don't mean be belligerent. Please don't let it come back. You're standing, you know, at A to Z, spouting off. You know what? Don't be a jerk. Leave that up to me. No. I love Ace, man. Ace Hardware. I love going in there because they're like, pfft. I know Nate has something to do with that. But anyway, another story. One of the things that we'll look at, God calls Christian to good works. He defines what that is. Obeying what God tells us is doing spiritual good because it glorifies God. Good and bad governments make a huge difference in people's lives in the church. When people say that the kind of government we have doesn't make any difference to the church or to the spiritual lives of Christians, I think of the difference between North Korea and South Korea. These countries have the same language, the same ethnic background, the same cultural history, live in the same location of the world. The only difference between them is that South Korea is a robust, thriving democracy with free people, and North Korea is a communist country with the most repressive totalitarian government in the world. And what makes a difference that makes, and what a difference that makes in people's lives? This is just a handful. There is just a handful of Christians in North Korea, and they must exercise their faith in secret scenes. That gives you a little idea of where he goes and why it's necessary for us to be salt and light. In another excerpt, we'll probably read this in more depth with more time. In the United States, though there were vocal defenders of slavery among Christians in the South, they lost the argument, and they were vastly outnumbered by many Christians who were ardent abolitionists, speaking and writing and agitating constantly for the abolition of slavery in the United States. Schmidt notes that 2/3 of the American abolitionists in mid-1830s, why you got to read, see Dinesh D'Souza's Hillary's America. Schmidt notes that 2/3 of the American abolitionists in the mid-1830s were Christian clergymen who were preaching politics from the pulpit, saying that slavery should be abolished. The American civil rights movement that resulted in the outlawing of racial segregation and discrimination was led by Martin Luther King, a Baptist pastor supported by many Christian churches and groups. There was also strong influence from Christian ideas and influential Christians in formulation of the Magna Carta in England, and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of 1787 in the United States. These are three of the most significant documents in the history of governments on earth, and all three show the marks of significant Christian influence and the foundational ideas of how government should function. This is what is being attacked right now, not a stupid, lame virus. I can show you stuff that'll show you. It's ridiculous. Sorry, people, it's nuts. When they can change the numbers at will, they're talking about a resurgence in the fall. They're going to do their best to do it. Better hang on to your britches. It has nothing to do with the virus. It has to do with absolutely trying to tank a man who's going against their ideals. Because they thought they had it in the bag. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light. And there's much more to come. I wished I could have finished. Let me go back to the prophecy thing, just real quick. I love Perry Stone. In his ignorance in that area, he uses it to reach the lost. I don't hate the man. Hal Lindsey, I got a little more trouble with him. But all these guys, that every time there's, I mean, how many times, and I'm going to mention it again, how many, John Hagee has never apologized for the book he wrote. You don't even hear about it anymore. Four blood moons and all that was going to happen. Never even apologized. But he kept the money in the bank. How many times, people, are we going to let somebody else do the studying for us? Ignorance is dangerous. Ignorance is not bliss. You'll know the truth, and the truth will not only set you free, the truth will keep you free. Pay attention to what threatens them so much. They're not pulling down anybody else's videos, and nobody seems to be able to identify who and why. I'm not up here preaching doom and gloom. I'm saying, I believe what I said on the videos. All this that the devil intended for bad, I believe right now if we'll pray and we'll stand and we'll make a difference and rise together, and I can guarantee you if I'm doing this, there's a ton of guys all over this nation this morning that are doing the same thing to bigger congregations and doing a better job, more eloquent in their delivery, and they're making a difference. We're going to do what we can here. They're doing what they can. Let's rise up strong in spirit first. Trust your gut, but don't swallow a lie. And they're not going to stick a needle in my arm and give me a vaccine. They can go fly a kite. People, I'm telling you, this is where they're trying to go. This isn't conspiracy stuff. Right now, I can just feel in the room, oh, you've been listening, you've been watching too much YouTube. You haven't been watching enough. You need to wake up. I'm not saying fear. You knew in your heart of hearts. So then why do you distrust anything that comes up? You knew in your heart of hearts something was off. Did you not? Come on, people. If that was you, would you shake your head? You knew in your gut something was off. You couldn't put your finger on it, but you knew something was off. Trust that. Move forward. Explore, throw out the junk, but in the middle, you're going to begin to find patterns that begin to point. For the Spirit of truth dwells in you, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Father, I thank you this morning that you bless this mess, that you strengthen our hearts. Today we understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is no peace. In a perverted sense of passiveness, there's a strange paradox that when we find our footing and stand with confidence, speak the truth in love, there is a peace from heaven that surrounds us and strengthens us. And over our congregation, one more time, I speak your word, Psalms 5:12. My God, I hope by now you know what that is and where it's found, and you're claiming it over yourself. He surrounds you and I with a shield. Can you finish it for me? With a shield of favor. Father, I give you thanks for your people today, that they'll be able to see and know past my passion and my roughness, to see my heart and to at least be agitated enough to start looking around. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the Holy Spirit of truth. Would you all lift your hands all over the room today? Hadn't this been fun?